Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to game day. It's official, folks. Week one is upon us. I know it kicked off on Thursday night, but this is the real start of it. When you dive in, you have some wings with your friends, a couple of adult beverages, and let the fantasy goodness wash over you. I'm Mike Blewett. I'm your host of Fantasy Sports Today, to the game day edition. And I'm excited to be with a couple of old friends, Scott Engel. He's the managing director of Roto Experts, and Jim Day, a contributor on Fantasy Sports Radio Network and a longtime well-known fantasy expert. So we're excited to be with those two guys today. First, I'll say hello to Scott. Scott, how are you, buddy?
I'm all ready for game day. It's great to be with you, my friend, and very excited to be with Jim Day for the first time. Absolutely love Jim. And we're already on rotoexperts.com this morning. My new Angle Eye is up with all my game capsules and tips, updated rankings. And we're going to have a live Slack chat throughout the morning for all you exclusive Ed subscribers who want to ask our experts direct questions one-on-one.
Perfect. And by way of introduction, I should let everybody know that I started out in this industry about 9 years ago. Started with a podcast on a open source network. And I was doing it with Tony Cincotta and a guy named Jim Day. And we've come full circle from having done that podcast 9 years ago. I believe it was the 2009 season is when we started it. So I'm excited to have him here. And it's Jim Day. You can find him on Twitter at Fantasy Taz. Jim, how are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great, Mike. It's week one. I'm ready to talk some football. And, you know, it just feels like Christmas morning.
It really does. You know, that Thursday game was terrible, if I'm being honest. It was not a great game. Tons of penalties. It wasn't played well. The Falcons still can't run goal line plays. And it was just kind of an overall mess. Rain delays and everything to boot. So I feel like we get a reboot with this game. Or these games today. So an entirely full slate. We obviously have two Monday nighters tomorrow, but some really good matchups, and we'll get through them throughout the morning. We're going to give you Scott's rankings, go position by position, let you know what we think of those and why Scott came to some of those conclusions, tell you some stats about some of those players along the way as well. But obviously the big storylines are something we want to cover for you. We'll get into injuries in a minute. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, as a Steelers fan, that Le'Veon Bell watch continues, and obviously the team left without him. James Conner starting today. I'll go to you first on this, Jim. What is your approach to the Steelers today in general and James Conner specifically?
Well, you got to like James Conner today. He's going to get, you know, probably 20 touches in this game, especially with the bad weather in Cleveland. Talking about a lot of rain out there may put a little bit of a harsh start on the passing game. So I expect to see a lot of James Conner today. He should be relatively productive. He looked a lot better this preseason than he did last year. So I'd like to see, you know, what he actually brings to the table. And let's face it, this is a guy we may be seeing start for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, so Scott, what I think is one of the things we need to figure out here, because we're looking at a total with the Steelers, there's about 45, so some points expected to be up there. They're a 3.5-point favorite, although I printed those lines out before Le'Veon Bell was officially not going with the team, so I would imagine we've seen some movement there as well. But my guess is that on some level, even with the conditions, maybe they push the ball a little bit more to the receivers, to Antonio Brown, to Juju Smith-Schuster. Vance McDonald, the tight end, is out, so Jesse James will be in there taking the share of targets at tight end, if any. So how do you think the ball gets spread around here, even if Connor is a good play?
I don't know how. It's, you know, the weather is a real concern. You know, I was seeing some very concerning tweets last night, and this we're going to have to monitor up until game time. I've saw anywhere predictions of 18 to 40 mile an hour winds, and there's going to be real concern from fantasy players about the passing game. You know, I dropped Ben Roethlisberger to 18 in my quarterback ranks on rotoexperts.com, and Tyrod Taylor, who I originally liked a lot, down to 27 and benched him in my two quarterback league because there's real concerns. Outside of Antonio Brown, you have to have concerns about starting all the pass catchers in this game. Antonio Brown, though, was the one guy I don't think you bench in 70-mile-an-hour winds because he could take a screens pass and still, you know, make it a game with all those defenders slipping and sliding. Remember, the defense, you know, also has problems in conditions like this. But this game is a real, real concern. Now, let's say things clear up. You know, James Conner's still running behind a terrific offensive line, but you love Juju Smith-Schuster as well. You know, he was a top 15 wide receiver of mine going into the season, but the weather is a major, major concern for fantasy players starting last night.
Yeah, I mean, this is October weather. We're looking at 59 degrees all throughout the contest, 18-mile-an-hour winds, to Scott's point. Gusts of north of 25 miles an hour, in some cases reported up to 40. So we are going to have a weather issue there right out of the gate, not typically expected outside of some rain in early September. So beyond that, Jim, some other major storylines, not necessarily fantasy related, but impactful for football. David Johnson from the Cardinals gets that extension right on season's eve for him, 3 years, $39 million. The Cardinals will have him locked up until his age 29 season. So for keeper league people, dynasty league owners, David Johnson is going to be a Cardinal for a long time.
Yeah, you got to love that news. You know, as a fantasy owner, I was kind of hoping it didn't get done before the start of the season because I thought he'd be running more with a chip on his shoulder than he will be now that he's gotten paid. But he's still out to prove that, you know, last year was definitely a fluke and he's still one of the top running backs in the league. And, you know, you got to love him in this matchup today. You know, he's going to have some real nice runs against his Washington defense, who last year was 29th against opposing running backs. They couldn't stop a thing. So I don't think they're going to have any chance stopping him.
Yeah. So to turn it back to the Thursday game for 1 minute, obviously this thing's been broken down six ways from Sunday, which is today, game day, on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. By the way, if you want to hit us up on Twitter today, please do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett, MikeBlewitt. Scott is going to be at Scott E Roto X. That's EX at the end. And Jim Day is Fantasy Taz. That's TAZ after fantasy. But I guess the one thing I wanted to focus on regarding that game isn't so much that the Falcons can't run goal line plays or Jay Ajayi had a good game or and Julio totally dominated. But Scott, it's really more about the flags, which have obviously become a more consistent issue. But the way that was officiated, I don't even blame the refs anymore. I really just don't. It's overregulated, and I can't even blame them for throwing the flags most times. So are you concerned that this becomes a pattern throughout the year?
I think there's always penalties. I mean, especially if you're a Raiders fan, their games are littered with penalties. It's just changing the dimension of what the penalties are. You know, sloppy fourth preseason game. The second half was a lot better. Look, there's always going to be penalties in football. It's part of it. It's a human element. You know, the referees have to adjust. But, you know, also they're full time now, so they're going to spend more time. It's, you know, I'm not going to make too much of it. To me, in fantasy, the best players are still going to put up the best numbers. You know, it's aggravating to watch a game and then you own somebody and, you know, that play gets called back because of a flag. But it always happens. I'm not going to make too much of it.
Yeah, Jim, we didn't really see any of the penalty that was focused on quite a bit during the preseason, lowering the helmet. We didn't see anything there. I saw a couple of instances of guys pulling up in it where 5-10 years ago they may have lit up a receiver. A couple of safeties pulled up. I did notice that. But any concerns for you on the way that game was officiated and how it may or may not impact your viewership during the year or how much you're enjoying the games, rather?
Well, it definitely impacts how much you enjoy the games when it just stops that often. But I think this is a week one thing, and only because, let's face it, we didn't get to see any team play any amount of time together in preseason at all, not even in the third week, which is normally where you start to see the starters come together. They just didn't do that this year. A lot of teams just didn't want to put their players in harm's way, so they didn't really get any continuity together against anybody else. So I think we see a lot of this in week one. And like you said, it wasn't really the helmet rule or anything like that. A lot of it was just procedural penalties, and right. I think we see more of that today and tomorrow night, but that'll start to come away as, you know, these teams start to play more together.
I think Tony Dungy made a really good point the other night where he talked about the defenses being ahead of the offenses. In the past, I seem to remember it the other way, but it certainly seemed like the defense was ahead of the offense the other night. And I think your point is spot on. And Tony Dungy made a similar point in that a lot of guys were rested. They don't want to bother getting anybody hurt, an ACL tear, whatever it might be, before the season even gets going. And obviously that leads to the defense looking like they have a little bit up on the offense. So it'll take some time for some people to hit their groove, Julio Jones off and running. But major injury news from that game, starting safety Keanu Neal, who really is a big piece of that defense, is out for the year with an ACL tear. I thought it looked bad on that first injury. He somehow came back out there and I think realized that he was hurt worse than he originally anticipated. So he's gone for the year. I actually have Atlanta in the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl this year, and that injury alone already gives me pause as to how successful they can be, let alone the fact that they can't run goal line plays. So, Scott, a couple of other injuries. We don't always talk about defensive players individually on this show. I'm in IDP leagues, and for those of you that are in IDP leagues, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Mike Blewett for any questions. But Joey Bosa being out for the Chargers really does impact that game in a significant way. So, with them playing the Chiefs and the Chiefs obviously having a high-flying offense, one of the ways to mitigate that is to have Joey Bosa breathing down the neck of Pat Mahomes, an inexperienced quarterback, and he won't be there today.
Yeah, and this is a higher-scoring game, and I think that a lot of people are going to expect. You know, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to gun it to keep up with Phillip Rivers, who's facing an awful pass defense. And when Joey Bosa's not there, it's much less of a rush, I think, although it's still a pretty good defense against Patrick Mahomes. You could see three touchdowns and three interceptions from Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, this really affects the pass rush, and I think this makes it a higher-scoring game. You know, I'm going to bet the over on this one.
Yeah, it's 47.5 right now with the Chargers favored by 3.5. An injury like that could make the line or the over-under move on its own, Jim. But, you know, he may be the most high-profile injury this week in fantasy, even though he's a defensive player, because it changes the way that they're going to be able to play.
Oh, absolutely. They're not going to be able to get up after Mahomes as much as they normally would, which means that they're going to have to settle into, you know, the secondary playing probably more zone defense in this one and not so much man-to-man if they can't get at Mahomes quick enough. So it's definitely going to affect the game. I still like the outcome to be Chargers, but it is definitely going to affect the game. There's no doubt.
Yeah, a couple other ones. Houston Texans wide receiver Will Fuller not expected to play against the Patriots. It's really kind of amazing. With Will Fuller, this is always the story with him. Just a lot of injuries throughout, and he's a difficult guy to rely on. In seven teams this year, I didn't draft him one time. It's not that I didn't suspect he'd have some breakout capabilities this season, Scott, but the best ability is availability, and Will Fuller doesn't have it.
Yeah, and to me, a sleeper DFS play and somebody that I just picked up in my home league in case the weather is really bad, and I have Juju Smith-Schuster slot in the lineup right now. Bruce Ellington had a good preseason. I know they have Kiki Coti, but he's a rookie. And Deshaun Watson knows who Bruce Ellington is. He's experienced in the offense. We've seen some minor flashes from him here and there. If you're looking for a sneaky play today, I like Bruce Ellington in a shootout against the Patriots.
In my Scott Fishbowl League, which is an extremely deep league with 22 players each and no trades, Bruce Ellington was just picked up this morning by one of the teams. So it's something to keep an eye on in deeper leagues. Jim, Greg Olsen was added to the injury report, but it looks like he's expected to play today against the Cowboys. Are you concerned with Olsen being a very high-profile tight end? Are you concerned with him being out there, maybe not being 100%?
Well, you have to be concerned, especially when you're talking about his back, which is basically what kept him off the field most of last year. So there's definitely concerns there, but they're saying they fully expect him to play. There doesn't seem to be any limitations on him playing. So at this point, you know, he's in my top three tight ends this week, and, you know, I'm still playing him wherever I have him.
Okay, cool. And one last one, we can get to some other ones a little bit later as they come up, but I think an important one, Scott, is the fact that the Colts are going to have pregame workouts for running back Marlon Mack with a hamstring and their left tackle also with a hamstring, Anthony Costanzo. They're probably going to be cautious with both players, but that is a big deal. If Andrew Luck doesn't have his starting left tackle, their offensive line was a little bit of a mess during the preseason despite adding Quentin Wilson. And you have to make a decision with Jordan Wilkins and or Nyheim Hines, depending on the depth of your league. But Jordan Wilkins might actually be a start here if Mack is out in one of your deeper leagues.
Yeah, I can't see him being a star. I think as a rookie in his first pro game, asking him to take pressure off for Andrew Luck is asking a lot against a pretty good Cincinnati defense. They don't have Burflick today, but I still like them a lot. Andrew Luck's going to have to get the ball out of his hands very quickly. I could see Jack Doyle having about 8 catches today because T.Y. Hilton, you know, building up to maybe that amount too, because they really don't have anybody else. They also have the worst defense, I think, in the AFC, but they really don't have the weaponry to keep up with Cincinnati today.
I think you might be the only guy in fantasy that likes Jack Doyle more than me. I've been on the Jack Doyle bandwagon for a while, but Scott is all in on him this year. 80 catches a season ago for Jack Doyle, and we'll see if he can continue it with Andrew Luck full time. So, Jim, any sense of whether or not you start Jordan Wilkins in a deeper league?
I actually like Wilkins today. Look, let's face it. I don't expect Marlon Mack to play much, if at all. I definitely have no worries about Nyheim Hines taking any work. I think Wilkins is a good play because I think he catches 4, 5, 6 balls out of the backfield in this one, and that gives him value in PPR leagues.
Okay, we're back with quarterback rankings from Scott right after this on FST. It's the game day edition. It's week one.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Foo Fighters getting you fired up on game day. And Mike, Jim, and Scott here until 10 a.m. And I know a lot of you out there are playing fantasy, obviously, but many more of you are looking at some legal wagering, which is a new development from a year ago. And you can check out BetDSI as they're celebrating their 20-year anniversary as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings, and you can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. So using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So the way we're going to do this show each and every week, to give you an explanation of how we do this, Scott Engel is the managing director and Hall of Famer. He's the managing director of Roto Experts and a Hall of Famer, fantasy Hall of Famer. So you're probably a Hall of Famer in many other halls as well, Scott, but I want to focus on fantasy first. So what we're trying to do is Scott does his weekly rankings every week on rotoexperts.com, and you can find them on rotoexperts.com in the NFL exclusive Edge package. It's not just a preseason thing. It's all season long. You're going to get access to premium information. So he puts his rankings in there and allows you to kind of pour through them, and he updates them daily. He'll probably update them throughout the show today, conceivably, if there's a major piece of news. But he does a big update on Saturday, and that's what we're going with.
Updated them this morning, Mike.
So there you go. So I'm looking at them live, yes. And you're getting them live and updated. Scott, never afraid of tweaking and updating and giving you the latest information. So the way we're going to start it is I'll go through the QB rankings. You'll hear your QB's name mentioned, hopefully, and then we'll give you some stats as to how these guys are performing and exactly what their days may look like. So we'll start it off. No surprise, Tom Brady, number one, the highest implied total on the board for Texans Jaguars. That total currently is 51. So Tom Brady comes out of the number one slot. Aaron Rodgers playing tonight against Chicago at number two. Deshaun Watson at number three. Russ Wilson comes in at number four. Phil Rivers at five. He's a very fancy, popular DFS play this morning. So Phil Rivers at five. Jared Goff at six. That's pretty high. That's a little higher than I've seen in some other areas, which is interesting. And Drew Brees at seven and Cam Newton at eight. Jim, I'll pass it over to you. Any of those top eight you disagree with, you like in particular?
No, actually, I think it's a pretty solid list, and I do like Jared Goff at six going against Oakland, even in Oakland. I mean, let's face it, Oakland wasn't anything good against opposing QBs last year. They finished 20th. I think Goff comes out with a strong supporting cast this year, especially with the addition of Brandon Cooks. I think he comes out and lights it up, so I really liked him at six.
Yeah, Watson obviously set franchise rookie records with 19 touchdown passes and a 103 rating. He did it in a very short period of time with Houston, but it's going to be an interesting one, too, for that game. You have two of the top three quarterbacks, Scott, playing in the same game today.
Yeah. And, you know, to the point about Goff, it's just I love him against the Raiders without Khalil Mack with that three wide receiver set. But I think that might be a little bit more of a higher scoring game than people expect, because, you know, they expect the Rams to shut down the Raiders. But let's remember that Greg Olsen was the quarterback coach of the Rams before he came over to the Raiders, and he's going to know how to put some wrinkles in there.
You know, it's interesting, though. I would actually go the other way on that Rams-Raiders game, because when I was looking through everything yesterday, today, doing this morning, just even doing updated lines, the 49.5 total is tied for the second highest on the board. And I just wonder, I don't think the Rams are going to put up a ton. I do think they can control the action with Gurley. But 50 does seem high to me. Like, I could see it being a 24-14 kind of game where the Rams control it most of the way. Does that kind of make sense to you, Jim?
Well, actually, I've seen it this morning at 48.5, so it's come down.
There you go.
So they obviously have some concerns as well. Look, this game started out with an early line at Pick'em, and now it's down to -4.5 for the Rams. So in the beginning, they weren't sure either, but now it seems like the money was moving that way. So, you know, I like the Rams in this matchup. I'm not as sold on Oakland turning everything around as others seem to be. The Rams can be beat on the ground, but outside of that, they're pretty strong defense.
I'm with you on the Raiders in general. I'm in an over-under competition this season, and I took we do a draft, like a snake-style draft, Scott, and we each had to take four teams. We took a fifth team as a tiebreaker, but effectively it's four teams, and I took the Raiders under eight this season. What do you think about that?
I'm okay with that. I think they'll squeeze out at eight. Look, people high on the Raiders, but their defense is going to be their undoing, and they're not going to make the playoffs for that. But I like their fantasy offense from a perspective of, you know, scoring points. Marshawn Lynch is not quite what he used to be in terms of quickness, but, you know, still has the tackle-breaking ability and the great vision. So he's still solid. He's a decent RB3 play today, as long as his groin is fine during warm-ups, because when you talk about a groin injury, I know he's not in the injury report, but, you know, how it fares in warm-ups is really the telling sign. You know, I've had a former running back, NFL running back, actually tell me that. And I think, you know, you can't assume that the defense is going to win this matchup against Amari Cooper. I like their offense. I'm going to take the over on this game.
Interesting. I'm with you on the Raiders, their defense being their undoing, especially now that they got rid of Mac. I do think, to your point, the Raiders could actually see some more fantasy upside than I predicted when Mac was there, because they will have problems scoring, stopping teams, and they will have to put up some points in order to compete. So moving on through Scott's rankings, Matt Stafford at number nine, Kirk Cousins at 10, Andy Dalton at 11. Andy Dalton is a very interesting DFS play today. He is on the road against Indianapolis, but he's back in the mix now. Dalton, this is a pretty crazy stat that I saw. Dalton passed for 3,300 yards last year, and he joined Peyton Manning and Cam Newton as the only QB to pass for 3,000 yards in each of their first seven seasons. I could not imagine how many guesses it would have taken me to get him as the third guy on that list with Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. So I think Dalton gets beat up a lot, and I don't think he's a great quarterback by any means, but I think he's right down Broadway, middle-of-the-road type of guy. And going up against his Colts defense, Jim, I think Andy Dalton is a pretty interesting DFS play because he's a lot cheaper than some of those top-end QB options.
I actually like the Cincinnati stack this week in DFS. Dalton and A.J. Green or Dalton and Eifert, both are good stacks to me in this week. Let's face it. I mean, Indianapolis defense might very well be the worst defense in the league, especially that secondary where most of their starting lineup probably wouldn't even start for, well, they wouldn't start for any other team. And more than likely, half of them would be on a practice squad or on the waivers by now. So their secondary is just terrible. I expect Dalton to have a solid game in this. I actually have him up at 9 this week as opposed to Scott's 11.
God, he has 6 touchdowns and no picks for a 97.5 rating in 4 career meetings against the Colts.
Yeah, he's done really well against him. It'll happen again today. You know, watching him in the preseason, you could see the protection is improved. You know, they drafted Price, the rookie at center. They brought in Cordy Glenn, who's going to play today. And, you know, I think A.J. Green could have his best season since 2015. It wouldn't shock me if he's a top wide receiver in fantasy football this week. Andy Dalton's going to be very, very widely owned. Then in DFS, you have to say to yourself, do I want to play Dalton because he's going to be so widely owned to keep up with the pack, or do I veer in another direction? My answer is that is, hey, multiple lineups. You know what? Throw $50 on FanDuel. Throw in more than one lineup because I think you have to diversify.
I agree. I think you can definitely, at the quarterback position, you don't necessarily have to pay up in tournaments. Paying up can give you a little bit of an ownership edge, but paying down to Rivers or Dalton, for example, could put you in a position where you could put some of the top-end running backs, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, in your lineup so you can save a QB and still be productive. So, in general, you made a good point about their offensive line, Scott. I hammered away at them all preseason last year for having a poor offensive line, and they did address it. They are one of the teams that knew they had a weakness, went out and addressed it, and I think it is going to dramatically improve that team offensively. I think Joe Mixon could see upwards of 300 touches this year. I think you're right about A.J. Green having a big year. I mean, he had a quote-unquote down year last year, and it was still 75 catches for 1,000 yards. So I think you're going to see a lot of production. And to Jim's point about Tyler Eifert, what's Tyler Eifert's biggest problem, Jim, in his career?
Staying healthy, absolutely.
Right.
So when he's healthy on the field, you got to love him. He's definitely an elite tight end.
Bingo.
When he's on the field.
That's exactly right. So if you've drafted him, play him. Same with Jordan Reed. You took a huge risk. While he's out there, go for it because they're going to target both of those guys in the red zone most likely. Continuing down through it, Patty Mahomes at 12. Scott said earlier he thinks that'll be a higher scoring game than some people might anticipate. Andrew Luck comes in at number 13. We'll see how he bounces back. And he apparently had a snowboarding injury, which he came clean on, which is really super awkward because a snowboarding injury might have led to all of this drama over the last 2 years. It's been like 616 days since he's taken a snap in the NFL. Seems amazing, but he's finally back. Jimmy Garoppolo, a tough test at Minnesota to start off his season, and I'll stop and pause with Case Keenum at number 15. So, Scott, you like Case Keenum to a certain point here. He's going up against your Seahawks, but he gets to start a game at home. He's got a new cast of characters. It didn't look great in the preseason, but the lights are on today. So you like Case Keenum to a certain extent, a mid-range QB too.
You know, I really wanted to believe in the preseason. I said it all preseason. I thought Case Keenum's probably going to turn into a pumpkin. But the more I watch him, you know, the time and the accuracy, the rhythm in which he's developed with his receivers very quickly, I do like him today. If you're going to sit Ben Roethlisberger because of the weather, go with Case Keenum. Emmanuel Sanders is going to eat in the slot against Seattle. And my big, big sleeper for this game is Cortland Sutton working on the outside against inexperienced quarterback Trey Flowers. I would not be surprised if the Cortland Sutton passing of the baton on from Demaryius Thomas starts beginning today, or at least flashes us to the future. I think Royce Freeman's going to have a tough time getting yardage because sometimes people forget that Bobby Wagner is the best middle linebacker in the game. Pro Football Focus ranked him as above 90 in every category last year. The only linebacker to be ranked such by PFF. So it's not easy to run on the Seahawks still. I think they have to throw. Look, Earl Thomas is back. But, you know, how much is he going to play? He has been activated. That does help the Seattle defense. But I think I like Keenum to at least be solid. I like love Emmanuel Sanders. And Cortland Sutton is a good DFS play. And if you're going to have to bench Juju Smith-Schuster and somebody picks up Bruce Ellington, get Cortland Sutton.
Jim, I'll rattle off a few more names here. Scott had Matt Ryan at 16. That was a good call. Matty Ice, not really effective for a lot of that game. He was inaccurate. He's under pressure at times as well. He has Alex Smith here at 17, but the name he brought up is Roethlisberger. You know, a lot of the concern with Roethlisberger is that his home road splits are so wildly different that you there's almost pressure if you have Roethlisberger to draft a second quarterback. If you're the type of person who only drafts one, which I am at times, if you have Roethlisberger, you sort of need another guy when he goes on the road. And today, not only is it a road game, but he doesn't have Le'Veon Bell. It's raining. It's windy. Maybe you throw another guy in there if you've been worried about it. And Case Keenum is an interesting call there.
Absolutely agree on all points. Let's face it, Roethlisberger has been terrible on the road. Until we heard the weather was going to be so bad, you know, we expected him to have to throw more in this game because of the loss of Le'Veon Bell this week. And, you know, James Conner, again, he's a decent running back. He's no Bell. Too many fantasy owners expect to throw Conner in there and get Bell-like numbers. That's not going to happen. He's going to have a good game, I believe, in this one. But Roethlisberger has always been terrible on the road. And without Bell, it's definitely going to affect his game. That being said, you know, if the weather isn't as bad, then he's still going to try and throw a ton. So it really comes down to what the weather is actually going to be like during game.
Scott wrapped up his top 20 with Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold. I like that call, Scott. I actually think Darnold, well, first of all, I'm very high on the Titans this whole year. I don't know that it's going to get off to a rousing start today. I like them to win, but it's going to be steamy hot in Miami. That's not an easy place to play for that reason, even though Miami, we all think, probably stinks this year. I just don't know that this is going to be Mariota's best day, which Scott has evidenced by ranking him 19 here. But Darnold at 20... Look, I'm not suggesting that Darnold's just going to come in and rip the roof off the league, but it would not stun me with the Jets being a 6.5-point dog on the road on Monday night in Detroit. It isn't the hardest place to play, and it wouldn't stun me if Darnold pulled off an upset here.
I don't think he will, but I think it'll keep him competitive. I like Bilal Powell for a lot of volume as both a runner and a receiver. He's going to take what the defense gives him. It's going to be a nice job. Robbie Anderson is a volatile play because, you know, are they going to move him in the slot away from Dre Bly or not? You just don't know. I think Quincy Enunwa might be his favorite receiver in the opener for him. And when you're talking about Mariota, you know, also check out, you know, within my article this morning, Angle Eye, there's an embed on the FanDuel Hurry Up. They're talking about Mariota, and just like he didn't have a good preseason, the connection isn't there with Corey Davis, but I like Delanie Walker. But, you know, those running backs to Tennessee are going to eat, and I really like the defense as well. But I know you're talking about Darnold, but you mentioned Mariota as well.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think Darnold in two-quarterback league, what I had to do was with Tyrod Taylor with the weather out, I had to pop Darnold in there. And if you have Tyrod Taylor, if you waited on a quarterback and Darnold's a free agent, you know, that's a nice pickup and plug-in for week one.
Yeah, he keeps going with Dak Prescott, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, Nick Foles. He had that way down there, which is a good call. Bradford. And Jim, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a chance to bash Eli. When we started our podcast 9 years ago, he was already a Super Bowl winner, but you really weren't in love with Eli. It's about 9 years hence, and Scott has him ranked 28th in week one in 2018.
A lot of people have him ranked really low this week going against that tough Jacksonville defense, but actually I have him a lot higher. Look, he hasn't had this many weapons in a long time. There's no doubt about it. Everywhere you turn, the Giants have a good offensive weapon now. the offensive line is, of course, still a concern. I really was hoping they would get rid of Eric Flowers totally and find another right tackle. Eric Flowers is, in my mind, probably the worst draft pick the Giants have made in the last 20 years, especially a first-round pick. That was just terrible. Yeah. He's shown Burn it ever style. Since. I really was hoping they were gone. He was gone. Nate Sauter helps a little bit. I really like the addition of Will Hernandez on the inside at guard. He's going to be a beast. But with so many weapons at Eli's disposal, even against this tough defense, Jacksonville isn't going to know where it's coming from. Pat Shurmur is going to move this around so much that they're going to have so many mismatches that I actually like Eli today as a very sneaky DFS play, because I do think nobody's going to own him, first of all. Second of all, with, you know, everybody going after Beckham, they have too many other weapons. I like Eli as a very deep play that you can get cheap.
The G-Men are my upset pick this week to beat the Jags with Blake Bortles on the road. It's Mike, Jim, and Scott. We're back on FNTSY right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You know, it gets tricky sometimes, but the schedule's not tricky. The schedule's not tricky today. It's me, Jim Scott, here until 10 a.m. Eastern. Then those two guys are going to get on with the business of winning their fantasy games, and I'll just stay here locked up in the studio, or old me, with Gabe Morency and Corey Parson. We'll be doing Lineup Lock Live, the game day edition. We're going to have Mike Leone, a guest on Daily Roto. He's from Daily Roto, will be a guest on the show at 10:15. So give you your hot DFS plays there. And then we'll go through all the games. We'll take a look at some gambling angles, betting, sports betting angles, and the like. So we're here till 10. That's 10 to 1. Then Fantasy Football Live goes from 1 to 8. That's going to be Corey Parson, Gabe Morency, and Chris Welsh from 1 to 4. And then from 4 to 8, it's Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz and Cam Stewart. So there'll be live updates every half hour to keep you posted on the latest scores and exactly what you're going to be doing, maybe benching guys heading into the 4 o'clock, so whatever it might be, or, you know, taking a look at early waiver wires in case somebody goes down or is ineffective. After that, it's these two guys, Scott Engel, Jim Day. They're back for Fantasy Football Rewind, so they'll take leave of me today. They'll set their lineups. They'll settle in and watch 7 hours of football, and then they'll come back and talk to you about it. That's from 8 to 10 tonight, so Scott Engel and Jim Day on Fantasy Football Rewind. So, yeah, we're on to running backs. That's the next thing that we wanted to talk about. We previewed a couple of them as we were talking about the QBs, but ultimately – we're going to do PPR scoring. If you're in the exclusive edge package, you can toggle back and forth between standard scoring, half point PPR, and PPR scoring. But for the purposes, since PPR has become the most popular format, we have to pick one and go with it. And here we are. We started off with Todd Gurley. He's at Oakland. That's tomorrow night's game. Again, that game has an implied total of, or over under, 49.5. We debated whether or not we think that's going to be over-under, but the Rams are a four-point favorite. Gurley, obviously fantasy MVP last year, Scott, and you have him kicking it off with number one behind, right in front of David Johnson. Alvin Kamara at number three, Zeke Elliott at number four, Melvin Gordon at number five, Kareem Hunt at six, Christian McCaffrey at seven, and Leonard Fournette at eight. No surprises there. Virtually all of those guys were first-round picks. And the one guy I'm happy to see in there is Christian McCaffrey. I only got him in one league, but I was really excited to get him because I had not been in a position. I mean, I was in a position to take him earlier, but I wasn't going to draft him as the second guy off the board in a league. By the way, I probably should have, because that was Le'Veon Bell. But McCaffrey's a guy I'm excited to see up there, Scotty, because it's a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it a new look offense, but you have a new offensive coordinator. and you have the potential for McCaffrey to be a little bit more of a bell cow back than he was a year ago.
Yeah, and it's an interesting matchup because I think everybody thinks that, you know, he's going to, you know, get so much volume against this Dallas defense. But when you have Ezekiel Elliott controlling the clock on the other side, you have to be careful. You know, McCaffrey's tall, but, you know, he's not built very heavily. But they also have to be careful. And look, when Sean Lee is in there and Sean Lee's healthy today, it's not as easy to run against the Dallas Cowboys as you might think. But McCaffrey's still going to get his in the passing game, and then he's going to get a lot of volume. So I don't like him as much as a daily play as some other people may like him. But if you're in a seasonal league, you know, you can expect at least, you know, a little bit more than above average performance in PPR. But the presence of Sean Lee gives me a little bit of pause there.
Yeah, and Jim, going to one of the other guys in that top eight there is Kareem Hunt. And I mentioned the Joey Bosa injury earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott bumped up Hunt after seeing the Bosa news. But Kareem Hunt in the top six, and what we did anticipate to be a much improved Chargers defense, or an improved Chargers defense, throws a little bit of cold water on that defense in week one. And he likes Mahomes. It's kind of a mid-range selection. And now Hunt in the top six. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't find fault with Hunt at all. Look, last year we saw Hunt come out and light the fire. Then the midseason we saw him drop off more due to not being used than anything else. And then we saw him light it back up at the end of the season. I think he gets off to a good start against his Chargers defense that could definitely be run on, especially with the lack of Bosa.
They played twice last year. He had 389 scrimmage yards, 327 rushing, and three touchdowns in those two meetings. So he was productive against the Chargers last year. So we move on to Jim's hope for the future for his New York Football Giants. Saquon Barkley at number 9. Joe Mixon at 10. I like that call. I would have him even higher probably. Dalvin Cook at number 11. Alex Collins at 12. Lamar Miller at 13. Devonta Freeman at 14. Kenyon Drake at 15. And LeSean McCoy at 16. So there's a lot of interesting players in there. You have a rookie in Barkley. You have Mixon behind the improved offensive line. You have Dalvin Cook coming back off the injury. And I'll pause there to ask you about Dalvin Cook. He's coming back off the injury. We had concerns. Maybe Latavius Murray would steal carries to start the season. But it looks like it's full bore for Dalvin Cook. Could they take a couple of carries away? Yeah, but it looks like he's ready to go. And going up against a Niners defense that doesn't have their starting linebacker and Reuben Foster in there. And we don't know exactly where we're going to get out of this defense yet. So Dalvin Cook against
Malcolm
San Francisco
is out too, Mike. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, it's
Malcolm
okay. Who was that?
Out too. Yeah, Malcolm Smith is out too.
So there you go.
So is Dakota Watson. Yeah.
So there we go.
So their three starting linebackers are all not starting today. So I actually have Dalvin Cook much higher. I'm a Dalvin Cook believer. I think what we saw at the beginning of last year is what we get all year this year. I'm not worried about the knee. Look, ACL surgeries have come so far. They've get these guys back up and running so quickly. It's not really a concern of having to worry about it coming back like you would with something like a collarbone or something like that. So I love him this week against San Francisco. Especially with, like I said, the three starting linebackers out for San Francisco. I have Dalvin Cook as my number 5 running back this week.
So, Scotty, in one of my leagues, I have the league I talked about with McCaffrey. My starting running backs are McCaffrey and Cook. So both, none of those guys were really in the top 7, but I took McCaffrey as the first rounder, got Cook on the turn. I'm starting to feel better about that team by the day. So you got both of them here in the top 11. And I think you probably even would say that you have him at 11, but you could see a chance for there being some serious upside for him.
There could. Now, look, there's a lot of injuries right now on the Minnesota offensive nine line. Obviously, Eifelin's not going to play today. You know, they're missing more than one guy there. But then you talk about how depleted the San Francisco linebacking core is, and that means something for Cook in the passing game where Murray is really not a factor. And I think they have to use him a lot because even though those linebackers are out, Jaquiski Tartt is back for the San Francisco 49ers, and he might put a cap on what Kyle Rudolph can do. And Inside Injuries has also noted, this is very important, that they believe that Adam Thielen is playing with an undisclosed injury. And, you know, that's something to note. So I think it's going to be a Stephon Diggs, Dalvin Cook kind of day for the Vikings.
That's brutal. We'll get to Thielen definitely in the next segment when we do wide receivers, but that's rough. I have him in a couple of leagues where I'm really banking on him to help that team. And it would lend some credence to the fact that we'll talk about the Thielen-Diggs dynamic in the next segment, but it would lend some credence to the fact that people expect them to be closer in receptions this year than maybe they were a year ago. So one other guy that we talked about, Jim, was Alex Collins. He set career highs in rushing yards and scrimmage yards and touchdowns last year. And he actually had 6 rushing touchdowns in the final 7 games of 2017. He goes up against a Buffalo defense that we don't know exactly where they're going to be yet. And I think Buffalo's biggest problem defensively this year is the fact that you're going to be on the field so much. So that may very well start today. So your thoughts about Alex Collins, just give me your thoughts today. But then also, if you think that there is some concern that Buck Allen is still going to steal some of those goal line carries or that workload in general.
Well, I like Collins. I like Collins a lot today going against Buffalo. I mean, let's face it, Buffalo was worst in the league last year at stopping opposing running backs. This is a relatively low scoring game, which, you know, scares me a little bit on the Buffalo side, but the implied point total for Baltimore is 24, a little over 24 points. So I expect them to put some points on the board. I expect Collins to have a good day rushing the ball. Look, Buck Allen's going to still get some passes out of this backfield. There's no doubt that he gets some work out of it. The goal line work, I don't see that happening yet. I think Collins is the guy they're going to go to early on at the goal line. So I have Collins pretty high as well. I think he's going to have a good, solid day today.
Keep going with Scott's ranks. Lamar Miller, 13, Freeman, Kenyon Drake, LeSean McCoy, James Conner you have here at 17. Then you have the Titans running backs, 18 and 19. So not particularly high, but also right next to one another, which I fear.
I love those guys.
I know, you have them in the RB2 range, which is fine. I mean, they're RB2s. That's how they were drafted.
It's not like that. I don't like them, but, you know, just the guys I like better ahead of them.
Yeah.
And the fact that they will share some work, but I'm throwing both of them in daily lineups today.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. But, you know, and the next guy I was going to bring up is a guy that I'm not quite sure why people don't like him that much. Now, I understand that the Browns just drafted Nick Chubb, but last year in San Francisco, Carlos Hyde had a career high 1,288 scrimmage yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. And yet people were staying away from him in drafts. But you have him here as an RB2, somebody that you can absolutely start today. And I want to get your thoughts really on Carlos Hyde. I took advantage of his falling in drafts a little bit. I didn't go all in on him, but I took advantage of where he was falling. I will say, as a disclaimer, I own James Conner more than any other player across my teams. I was sure to get him late in drafts. I didn't think Le'Veon Bell would play 16 games. I'm not saying I thought he would hold out into week 10 like it appears that may happen here, but I do have James Conner, so I'm playing him everywhere today. But you can talk about both those guys, Scott, but really Carlos Hyde, I don't understand the hate so much for Carlos Hyde.
Well, it's because he's never stayed healthy. He never quite reached his ceiling with the Niners. I forget the numbers were. When they were really bad, he was hardly scoring any touchdowns for them. But now he's in a better situation. He's had a good preseason, running behind a good offensive line. And with the weather concerns in that game, it's going to be heavy on the running backs. So you got to lock in Carlos Hyde as an RB2.
Yeah, Jim, I like Carlos Hyde and Jarvis Landry today. The Steelers, with the absence of Ryan Shazier, did not upgrade in any significant way. And let me say this again. They downgraded significantly at middle linebacker. And I think Carlos Hyde and Jarvis Landry are going to get some work done today because the Steelers, in order to try to combat Landry, are going to have to play a whole bunch of nickel. And I think that that softens up the defense a little bit for Hyde. So I think those two, Landry, I think, can just win some one-on-one battles. But conversely, Hyde could be running into a little bit of a softer defense up front.
Well, I like both of these guys. And they're two of my most owned players. I have Carlos Hyde in 76 different leagues. I have Jarvis Landry in 62 different leagues. So I have a lot of ownership of both of these guys. I thought they were...
Time out there a minute. Hold on, Jim.
What's the total?
People ask me, have I played in a lot of leagues? And I'd say 10 to 12. How many leagues are you in?
173.
Wow.
How do you do your the only other guy knows that many leagues.
Let me temper that. A lot of that is best ball.
Okay, out of how many
season-long leagues, I only have 26.
Still a lot.
Okay.
Which is, well, that's still a lot down. Last time we did a podcast, Mike, I was usually averaging about 64, 65.
I was going to say, I remember that, like 70.
So it's definitely a lot further down on that. I did a lot more best ball this year just because I don't have as much time during the week to do that many waiver wires and lineup setting. So, but I have a lot of leagues, but most of them are best ball. But I love Hyde. Look, let's face it. You know, I think on this Cleveland offense, the one guy that really is a guy that I faded this year is Duke Johnson because of Carlos Hyde. You don't really need to bring in Duke Johnson on passing downs when you have a guy like Carlos Hyde who can easily catch the ball as well as Duke Johnson and doesn't really give the play away as much as Duke Johnson. When Duke Johnson's on the field, you're pretty much expecting some kind of passing play. You don't have that worry with Hyde because he can always run the ball at, you know, efficiently as well. So I like Hyde a lot this year. I was able to grab him in a lot of drafts in the 7th and 8th round, which was just ridiculous value. And again, Jarvis Landry to me has always been a wide receiver one, and I like him in this offense with Tyrod Taylor throwing him the ball. I think he sees a lot of targets each and every week. I think the addition of Gordon actually helps him because defenses are definitely going to shade toward Gordon's big plays. So these are two guys that I definitely am high on this year, and I love them both this week.
Yeah. So keep going through his rankings. Royce Freeman, you mentioned a little bit there. You said it could be a little tougher for him. Jay Ajayi comes in at 22. The touchdowns probably push him a lot higher than that, but overall he didn't have a ton of production. Then you have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, just similarly to how you had the Titans back-to-back. You now have the Bears back-to-back with Cohen and Howard still both in the RB2 discussion, Scotty. So the sort out how you think that's going to play out with Chicago at Green Bay tonight. Tough spot to open, but with all the weapons in Chicago, these two guys are getting right after it. You have them in RB2 range.
I absolutely love Tariq Cohen. I think I have him in like 7 of my 10 leagues. Now, Jordan Howard is a guy that they're going to try to establish early for ball control and keep that Packers offense off the field. But ultimately, they're going to have to keep up with the Packers at some point, even though the Chicago defense is very good. That means a lot of Tariq Cohen. I don't think a lot of people see it coming. I think Tariq Cohen's going to get absolutely unleashed starting tonight. They have to play catch-up. They have to play from behind. Matt Nagy is going to know what to do with Tariq Cohen, what John Fox did not.
One thing I'd say about the Bears, Jim, is that I was fading them all throughout the preseason. I was concerned that all the new pieces and the new coach and Trubisky, I just didn't think it was going to work out the way people wanted. And you know what changed my mind? They traded for Khalil Mack. And I think it could stabilize the defense, and the Bears could actually control things in a way that the Chiefs controlled them last year. They could have some explosive plays, but at the end of the day, they'll be able to run the ball, and they got two guys that can do it.
I can't fault either one of them. I like Cohen a lot this year. You know, the one thing that I really like about him is we saw in preseason, they're not afraid to flip him outside. They're not afraid to flip him into the slot, get him some of those wide receiver roles going. And I think that really adds to his value. I expect him to be a guy who catches at least 50 balls in this offense.
Scott, give me real quick, like 10 seconds on Alfred Morris.
They're going to have to use him to play ball control and take pressure off Garoppolo because those wide receivers have such tough matchups. He'll get volume, but I could see like 20 carries for 60 yards.
Jim, similarly, 10 seconds on Jamal Williams from Green Bay.
I'm not a big fan of any of the Green Bay running backs. I think it's just going to be too much mix and match. I'd have him a little lower.
I have to start Chris Carson in my Dynasty League today because Mark Ingram's suspended. So hopefully he outperforms the 30th ranked running back that Scott has. So that's the end of hour number one. We're on to hour number two. We'll talk wide receivers on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike, Jim, and Scott on FST Game Day Edition. We'll be right back.